Welcome to We've Got Issues. I'm Joshua Holland. This week we're joined by John Amato, the the editor-in-chief of Crooks and Liars, founder and editor-chief, something like that. We'll figure out what his title is before he joins us. Welcome back. I'm still Joshua Holland. I'm joined now by John Amato. John is the founder and publisher of Crooks and Liars. He's a keen observer of the right-wing media. John is also a rock star who's played with Duran Duran and Ringo Starr and The Knack and others, many others. John, welcome to We've Got Issues.
Thanks a lot, Josh. Great to be here.
Thanks for taking the time to speak with me. So you watch a lot of Fox News, so we don't have to. I wanted to talk about a couple of things that are going on over there. First of all, Trump has been of late attacking Fox News. He said that he tweeted out, oh, there's an alternative, One America News Network. This is a little bit like, you know, saying your propagandist is a bad propagandist. So there's like a worse propagandist over there. What do you make of all of that?
I mean, you know, he always plays the refs, but because Fox News, actually some of their polling has come out so negative against him that the only thing he can do is just attack and criticize. And he flips out if Fox News actually has a Democratic pundit on, yeah, or, if Chris Wallace interviews, Stephen Miller and gives him a hard time. It's like they're attacking him. It's really crazy.
They're turning into liberal media.
Yeah, I mean, you know, an OANN is beyond like state-sponsored propaganda. You know, they're the Alex Jones type of conspiracy theory nuts, and yeah, he loves them. I mean, you remember the question from his favorite part where she asked, you know, if you talk about Chinese food, are you being racist? And it's like, what? Yeah, I mean, you can't believe it's really crazy under the Trump administration. That I wrote a lot about when the Tea Party began, and I had said that Obama's speaking, you know, he was such a great orator that he scared the right wing so much that they allowed all the nuts like a jack in a box out of the box, and now they can't put him back in. And now with Trump, that's his base, and he loves them as long as they, you know, worship him properly.
Yeah, no, that's all it. And I should say that, you know, I see this all the time with liberals and progressives, and they're like, even the Fox News poll, Fox News polling is actually legit polling. They're serious pollsters. So when they come out with a poll, you know, it's going to say that Trump is wildly unpopular because Trump is wildly unpopular. You know, it's just that simple. Meanwhile, Fox News broke ratings record last month. Has the biggest ratings jump by far during Trump's pressers. They're doing a town hall with Trump at the Lincoln Memorial this week. They are doing great with this whole coronavirus crisis and giving him a ton of basically in-kind campaign contributions.
Absolutely, it's criminal. They are acting as state-sponsored television. It's unjust. It's not in the public's interest. And I hope a congressman. I've actually been emailing some congressmen saying, you know, please put out some new legislation that states, hey, look, right, the First Amendment, you're right, you're not allowed to scream, you know, fire in a movie theater if there's no fire, right? Well, these people are promoting phony remedies, cures, having quack doctors on giving phony information during a national health crisis. And to me, that's got to be illegal. You have to have some credibility if you're going to put on a medical expert. Instead, you talk about these ratings, so millions of people are getting these, like, you know, Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz just saying the craziest things. And there's always a segment of the population, just like Trump's, you know, drink some Clorox, you know, or, you know, we'll inject some Clorox that'll cure you, that they're going to just jump on it. It's to us, it's crazy, right? Who would ingest detergent? But as the governors from many states have been saying, their call centers on these things went crazy after Trump said that.
Yeah, and two men with mental illnesses in, I believe it was Georgia, drank bleach the other day. That was one of them had 16 ingested 16 ounces of bleach.
Oh my god!
Very, very lucky to survive. I guess they must have pumped his stomach. I don't know exactly, but it's crazy. And you know, I'm a big proponent of free speech, but you know, there is that old saying, your right to swing your arm ends at the end of my nose. You can talk about, you know, you mentioned shouting fire in a crowded theater. This is dangerous stuff and people are dying. And I wrote about, you know, these how ill-prepared and susceptible to severe illness and death a lot of the red states that where people who listen to this stuff all day live. You know, they have very weak, underfunded healthcare systems. They tend to have high rates of uninsured. They have very high rates of all of those pre-existing conditions, diabetes, obesity, hypertension, et cetera, all the way down the list. It's just a disaster. And, you know, there was a study that actually traced an increase in infections to people who are watching Sean Hannity.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, especially with the red states. And again, as you talked about their healthcare, just all public services are so cut because their governors don't believe in federal government.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the problem with the Trump administration, a big problem is, I mean, there's so many just regular jobs throughout the government that aren't filled, let alone, you know, forget about his acting chiefs of whatever. I mean, he can't even get them approved, so he just puts the acting term on it. I mean, can you believe it? In the first presidency, the guy has four chief of staffs already. I mean, it's crazy. You can't have a coherent government without having stability. And we've seen this play out from the very beginning of this coronavirus, and it's only getting worse, and people are getting sick, are getting infected, are passing this on, are dying because of lunatics like Sean Hannity, who's, you know, in a battle with the New York Times.
Right.
You know, it's not really a battle. It's just he's whining like he always does.
I mean, he melted down. There was a New York Times column calling out his bullshit, and he had a complete meltdown, which is ongoing. He threatened to sue. And then the New York Times lawyer was like, no, we're not going to issue a retraction or an apology. Go fuck yourself. So
yeah, it's ridiculous, the whole thing, because Trump has been such a loose cannon his whole career, with four bankruptcies, makes believe that he's his own PR guy. I mean, he's done so many shady, I mean, you know, things in his past. That's the only thing he knows. And so the reason why he freaks out at the media all the time and why there's no press conferences is outside of Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I mean, it's hard to constantly lie because he just changes course in the drop of a hat. You know, he'll get a call from Tucker Carlson, it'll go this way. Then Lou Dobbs will call him, then it'll go that way. I mean, it's really insane, and it's been so dangerous for this country to, in this serious, serious pandemic, to have a narcissistic imbecile as a leader.
You would think that such a dire crisis with such a large death toll, a lot of morbidity. We focus a lot on the deaths, but the rate of serious illness is much higher. Studies show that between 20 and 30% of people who are testing positive, that is testing positive, there's more people who are positive with no symptoms who are not being tested, but 20 to 30% of those who are testing positive are ill enough. Sorry, I didn't mute my phone. Are ill enough that they require hospitalization. And this is a serious illness, right? So there is some evidence that people who suffer serious illness from COVID-19 face long-term debilitating effects and possibly some permanent effects. So, you know, this is bad stuff. One would think that would cause a rethink of the importance of government, but I think we've been through this before, and it is unlikely to, because of how polarized we are, if for no other reason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Trump's whole reelection campaign was based on the economy, right? I mean, he's been riding the coattails of the Obama economy, and now it's in shambles. And the only thing that his minions can come up with is that we have to get back to work, no matter what happens. And, you know, if you're old, you should be sacrificing your life for your grandchildren. It's just, it's mind-boggling the propaganda and the craziness that is unleashed from Trump's surrogates. We're not talking about Sean Hannity. We're talking about lieutenant governors. We're talking about congressmen. We're talking about senators that don't care about their own people.
Yeah, you wrote this week about Jim Jordan going on Fox to say that, you know, we need to get people back to work, even if it kills people. It's not a big deal. And it's worth noting that these are the same people who, you know, spread the All Lives Matter hashtag. So now it's like All Lives Matter, but nobody over 65 or nobody who has hypertension or diabetes or obesity, those lives don't matter that much. And of course, they're all the quote unquote pro-life people. So there's no point in calling out hypocrisy at this point. So
no, I mean, but you have to constantly, you know, we have debates in, you know, between our editors, you know, how much of Trump stuff should we put off with this person? But I'm still of the opinion that, you know, you have to make a record of this chaos. Because it's daily, but still it needs to be recorded and then properly criticized. Or, you know, if there was something to give compliments about, especially in this time, you know, we'd be more than happy to. But, you know, as with the stimulus tax, by the way, yeah, Jim Jordan said the fourth stimulus, you know what that is? Go back to work. Like that was his whole, go back to work. That's a stimulus. And it's like, what are you talking about? You know? It's crazy, and this is where we are, and people really have to just take their own health and their family's health and their friends' health into consideration, as well as everybody else.
Yeah,
and I mean,
well, this is I've talked about this several times on this show, but there is this weird disconnect that I've observed throughout this, which is you have the polls show that Republicans are much more likely than the population as a whole, certainly Democrats and independents, to say that this is no more serious than seasonal influenza. They're more likely to say that this is being exaggerated by the media or Democrats to hurt Trump. Then other polls ask, what are you doing? What behavioral changes are you making? And they find that those people may say that they don't believe that this is worse than seasonal flu. They may say that they think it's being exaggerated by the media, but they behave as if they do not believe that. So there's very little difference in the polls that say, you know, are you staying home? Democrats, Republicans, independents, staying home at roughly the same rate? Are you washing your hands more often? Are you avoiding crowds? All of those things. They seem to be behaving the same way as we do. And it's an interesting disconnect. It makes me wonder, you know, when these governors say we're going to rush to open up the economy prematurely when we don't have, you know, testing and contact tracing and all of that, how many people are actually going to be like, okay, I'm going to go to Applebee's and get a steak?
I know, you know, and the problem is it only takes, you know, one person to spread it to another person to spread it to another person. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So it's really tricky. You know, I was looking, I've heard this whole debate from Fox News quack doctors, right? Especially these two new guys who now from Bakersfield who just made the craziest stuff up and of course became instant right wing, you know, heroes, this guy Erickson and his partner. But I was looking at the CDC website, right? And now we're only, I'd say in California, right, I believe the governor issued the stay-at-home orders like March 20th, I think, or 19th. I forget the exact date. So we've only been doing this stuff for, you know, a little over a month. Now in 2012 and 13, there were 3,700 deaths for influenza, right? These are CDC stats.
In California?
No, in the country.
37,000.
No, 3,700.
That's it.
In 2013 to 14, there were 12,000 deaths. In 2014 to 15, there were 3,700 deaths from flu. In 2015 to 16, there were 6,400 deaths, right? In 2016 to 17, there were 5,200 deaths. Now, before that, the biggest increase in deaths was when the swine flu hit, and there was 12,469 deaths, right?
Yeah.
We're at 60,000 deaths in 40 days. I mean, this is just what's being reported.
Yeah.
Now, there was also a big uptick in 2017 And because there were two different, I think there were different strains of flus that hit. But, and so there was like 60,000 people that passed away that year. But this didn't happen in a month. You know, this was like from, you know, it's like, it's the reason they say 2014 to 2015, it's because it starts when flu season, you know, September, October for the whole year.
Yeah.
And so there was a big uptick in November, December, January, it calmed down. And then in March, a new strain came. And so then deaths went way up. And so that was sort of an outlier. But what we're having today, when you look at the numbers, is massive. And we're just at the tip of the iceberg. And yeah. Who knows how many deaths haven't been reported. I mean, I was talking to your engineer before we went on. It's not like every person has a little, you know, a little toggle and then they die. You flip the toggle all of a sudden, you know, and the state officer goes, oh, he's dead. Oh, that's another death. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like people are doing the best they can to coalesce data.
John, I do want to make one caution here, which is that from regular seasonal influenza, there's a relatively large number of elderly people who die of pneumonia. It's listed as pneumonia. It's not; they're not necessarily tested for influenza, and so those numbers are a little. I would focus more on the exponential growth of this thing, right? So everybody who goes out and goes back on the job prematurely, gets infected, is going to infect, we don't know exactly, between two and three others on average. And then there was a study put out by the CDC of Chinese data earlier this month that suggested that that may be, that that's the RO number, they say, R-naught is actually the cool way to say R-naught.
Right.
That number may be as high as five. So it's possible that everybody who gets this will go out and infect five people or more on average. So this is why, you know, it's so important to flatten the curve. And we have, you know, suffered 62,000 deaths while sheltering in place, largely while doing all of these things. These numbers would be so much higher, according to every model, if we had just gone about our business as we do during a normal flu season. So that's the real problem with this, you know, influenza comparison, is that during the normal flu season, we don't even wash our hands. We walk around sneezing on each other, blah, blah, blah. We've suffered 62,000 deaths in this country in 2 months, while many of us have been staying home, avoiding crowds, while gyms have been shut down, while restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. So the idea that, and yet there are still idiots on Fox News who routinely say, and elsewhere, who routinely say it's the flu, who just refer to it as the flu. It's pretty darn maddening.
No, it really is. I mean, even like Laura Ingraham had these two doctors on, like I was talking about, Erickson and Masihi, who basically became right-wing stars overnight because they said like the death rate is way down, and all because they, you know, they looked at their patients, and you know, it's crazy. I mean, lots of medical professionals had to come out and give.
It was that absolute bullshit story. But let me actually just for listeners who haven't been following this, these two doctors have an urgent care facility. They are broke because nobody is going to the doctor unless they are in critical care, in critical need, and they're going to the hospital. So these people have seen their patients drop off. They've been testing those who have shown up. They found that there was a positive rate among their patients of 6% or something like that. They doubled it for some reason for the larger California community. Nobody really knows why. They assumed it would be twice as high for people who were not showing up in the urgent care facility. And then they extrapolated this and decided that 12% of all Californians are infected. Therefore, the death rate is minuscule. And they just pulled this stuff out of their ass. Sorry, go ahead. I just wanted listeners to know how they came about this.
Right. And immediately they're on Tucker Carlson. And Tucker Carlson calls them medical researchers.
Yeah.
Right? So this is, again, the fraud that they perpetrate on their viewers. Laura Ingraham, when they were coming on, said, listen, I understand that the coronavirus is much more contagious. But when you look at the numbers, it's like, wait a second. If it's much more contagious, and if you don't contain it, then it's going to, you know, infect so many more people, even by your crazy statistics, so many more people are going to die.
I mean, you're really, it's important to point this out. If 12% of the people of California were infected, well, again, many of us are sheltering in place. Well, this shit is extremely contagious and none of us should go outside. It's crazy. I mean, it's just so crazy all the way around. Let me ask you this, John, you have a small business. How are you doing? Have you applied for a PPP loan?
I have applied for a PPP loan. Well, let's put it this way. I attempted many times to apply for a PPP loan. It's absolutely, it was insanity. I wrote a big article about it when things were happening 10 days after the first stimulus was passed. And it's so frustrating. I've been dealing with a major bank for since I've been in California. And I had called, as soon as the stimulus passed on that Friday, I was on Monday calling the bank manager. And see, when you have a government that hates themselves, that doesn't like the federal government, and where Trump, what they're trying to do is always shift the blame to somebody else. So they pass the money, and then they just throw it against the wall and say, okay, you guys deal with it. And then you're done. And the confusion, I mean, it was nuts. You know, and on Wells Fargo website, you know, first, by the way, and you know, Steve Mnuchin, those guys said, you can go to any lender that's qualified to give out these loans. It doesn't matter if you have an account or not, and put in applications, and they can take care of you. Well, if you tried to go to a different bank that you go to or a different type of lender and you don't have an account, they on their website, it said, you can only, you know, what's your account number? And you have to have that account, you know, before February 15th of 2020. And so it was a nightmare.
I mean, that the $350 billion that they set aside for this lasted literally 2 days. But I think, John, you made a severe error here. And what you should have done is written a blog post about how great Trump is, and then
right.
sent it over to him, and then right. called up, and I'm sure he could have cut some money loose for you, because that's the way this government works.
No, I know, and that's why, like, some of the governors that go on TV and then they give some veiled praise to Trump because they're trying to get equipment. This is the federal government's job in a pandemic, right? This is what they're supposed to be having, you know, masks and equipment and ventilators.
No, I mean, it's even worse than that. They're trying to get the federal government not to steal their equipment.
Right. But hold on, you know, but Trump said, you know, there's probably doctors stealing stuff at the back door and sending it out, you know, so yeah. Doctors. And I actually had a family member tell me that when I brought that, they brought that up. I said, are you serious? Well, how do you know they're not stealing it? Like, how yeah. do I know they're not stealing it? It's crazy.
I mean, it's, I think that reveals, you know, Trump is all about projection. That's what he would do if he were a doctor getting people.
Right.
He would sell it out of the back of a fucking Buick.
He'd have Michael Cohen, right? He'd have Michael Cohen in the back, you know, filling up his van. You know, with all the illegal cab, and they'd be driving around the city, get your mask here, $150.
I mean, look, if he hadn't been a millionaire by age 8, that's exactly what he would be doing, selling PPE out of the back of a Buick in Queens, right?
Well, wait, but, man, I thought his father didn't give him any money. I just loaned him $1 million one time, right?
He was getting $300,000 a year at age 3. $200,000 a year at age 3. A millionaire by age 8. Born on third base. Thinks he hit a triple, as the great Molly Ivins might have said.
Dude, he was born with a grand slam.
You know what? That's a great segue. Let me ask you this before I let you go. Have you been following these crazy plans to restart baseball?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, we're both avid sports fans. I will say, change. I just watched the 2007 Giants Patriots Super Bowl again, which was fantastic.
But you know who won? Baseball. It doesn't work when you know who won. I can't watch. Right.
No, it still was great because you get to see like how, you know, incredible Justin Tuck and Ozzy Minori were, who don't get enough credit for that win. But anyway, you know, I think, look, everybody's just, it's a weird time and they're just trying to figure things out, you know, and yes, I mean, I've been upset with MLB for a long time. Once they started it, like, okay, you can't slide into the catcher anymore. Because why? Because one star player got hurt on the San Francisco Giants. They changed the entire rules for the 150 years of its entirety. And then another guy gets hurt. And then they change the slide rule at second base. So they take
all right, John, two. Don't get into the sliding.
All right. Anyway,
they have these happening schemes to get baseball going on in June, right? They're thinking about playing two, instead of having a National League and an American League, you just have an Arizona League and a Florida League. They're thinking about, but then the baseball players were like, no, we're not going to be away from our families for 6 months. So now they're talking about having these, you know, these little mini leagues that are regional. So you'd have like a little cluster so they wouldn't have to fly across country. And I don't know.
I mean,
I want baseball. I just want some baseball. I'm stuck.
No, I hear you.
You know, if there's no crowds, I'm okay with it.
Hey, no, nobody cares. I mean, really, what's made this, you know, really harder for a lot of people is there are no sports. And so because it you know, takes your mind off of things for a couple hours.
Yeah. What do we have? We got masturbation and Netflix, and that's it. I got a puppy. I got a puppy, but I could use some sports.
No, I hear you. Well, listen, you know, to be honest with you, any cockamamie idea they come out and try, you know, and try to play, hey, fine. I mean, I don't know what, but the players and the union will, you know, and the owners will have to sort of come together and figure something out. But, you know, again, we'll have to see. Let's see what happens at the end of May, you know, and see where we are. I mean, you have to take it not like week or 7 days by 7 days, but at least a month at a time. You know, to see what happens. And if the players, if they had enough testing kits, then they can at least test all the players before they go and play a game, you know?
Yeah,
and,
no, that's going to be part of it. They're talking about they'd have to be tested regularly. All players would have to be tested regularly. They would have be isolated in spring training. Anyway, folks, you heard it here. Folks, we made some news. John Amato is in favor of any cockamamie scheme to start playing baseball. John, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thanks a lot, guys.
I'd also like to thank Liz Prezza. You can follow me on Twitter at Joshua Hall. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. I'd like to thank the good folks at Alternet and Ross Story for supporting the show. I'd like to thank David Edwards, our producer and engineer. And I would like to thank all of you fine and excellent people on both sides. Have a terrific week.